Down in Petersburg, everything's fine. All them cats is drinking that wine. Drinking that mess is their delight. When it gets rough, start singing all night. Drink wine, sporty, oldie.
On the third Wednesday of the month, we get together with Carolyn Joy from Joy Wine and Spirits to put together some wine, sometimes with some food. Sometimes it's a unique story about the wine itself, like this month when we talk about Colorado Natural Wine Week. Carolyn, this is your home turf. You are so at home on this topic and with natural wines.
Right. Many times we've often emphasized estate bottled wines here on the show, and I've often featured natural wines. So this is kind of fun because this week, actually, listeners can go to several consumer events in Colorado, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But we're featuring a lot of these natural wines at the store this week, and I thought it would be fun for the listeners to partake.
Well, it's a new old way of making wine, but over the years, wine has become less natural. I guess anytime you get industrial, you've got to do some things to take away from its original state.
Right. With our industrialization and modernization, wine has changed to a product that is really very consistent on, for the most part, for consumers.
Yeah, consistent.
Yeah, right. And that's what a lot of people are looking for. But a lot of winemakers in the 1980s become disengaged because they saw this industrialization and industrialized farming and mechanization and basically assembly line wine making.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to kind of go back to the roots of a more naturally processed wine. And that differs a little bit from the vineyard, and it brings it to the cellar.
Okay, let's start with the vineyard at the grapes. Not all grapes are equal.
Right. The winemakers were getting organic or growing organic or biodynamically farmed grapes, which meant that there were no chemicals or pesticides in the vineyard. But when it came time to putting that practice into the cellar or bringing it into the cellar, sometimes those two weren't symbiotic. Mm-hmm. So this natural wine movement, which kind of, I thought it was funny, I found some different terms. One called it the industry's punk movement, and another one on the other end of the spectrum was hippie juice. So I thought that was super funny. But
good.
Anyway, what they wanted was to apply the same principles they used in the vineyard to their work in the cellar.
There are a couple of other additives that have gone into wine over time. In fact, there are a lot of additives that have gone in over time.
Right.
Hundreds.
A couple hundred, to be more honest about it. And we all know about sulfur dioxide, because on the label it says this product contains sulfites. But other than that, there's no labeling requirements on wine. And there's so many additives. For example, in the process of fining or making a wine more clear and less hazy, they could be adding something called isinglass, which is made from fish bladder, which in itself isn't so, I wouldn't say unnatural.
It's
but
a natural additive, not a chemical additive.
Right.
But
it does come in powdered form, more for the industrial-sized wine cellar. There's also volcanic clay, bentonite, and egg whites, which, again, don't seem harmless. But, of course, if you're a vegan, you wouldn't want that. And also, again, this comes in powdered form.
And there's this grape color that
mega purple, yes.
Mega purple?
Mega purple.
Wine is purple.
Wine is a living product, so it's always going to be different colors. It's hard to get, you know, and what we eat with our eyes first, I would say. So one of the most important parts of wine, when we look at it often, is the color. And consumers like that deep, rich, ruby color. And so that's not always possible without adding something to the wine, at least, again, on a consistent basis.
One of the issues with sulfur is this thing you describe as sulfur sensitivity.
Sulfur is naturally occurring in almost all wine. Mm-hmm. We do carry a few wines that are basically sulfite-free, and sulfur is often added right prior to corking the bottle so that it preserves the wine, and it not only preserves the color but the taste. So wines without added sulfur often do need to be drunk sooner. It's interesting that generally red wine has fewer sulfites than white wine, but when you look at food that contains sulfites, processed foods contain many, many more sulfites than wine, and dried fruit like apricots carry the most. So not everybody has a sulfur allergy, but many of us are sensitive to sulfites. And as you drink more wine and maybe experiment with it and see and find out from your merchant, you know, how much sulfur is in a wine, if that's available, or mm-hmm. if they know, then you can gauge how do you feel after drinking that wine.
It seems like wine drinkers are beginning to experiment with vintage versus freshness. And they're just different approaches. You want to try different things.
Yeah, I think one thing that people are realizing is that food is wine. So often, you know, and consumers are becoming more aware of what we put into our bodies. So as you just become aware of something, you start to look more into what are you putting into your body. And that's where, again, a lot of momentum is being gained in the natural wine movement, because basically natural wine takes organically grown grapes, but then they don't put any artificial yeasts, any artificial additives, no mechanical fining or filtration. So you're getting a minimally processed, artisanally cultivated product.
Carolyn Joy is our guest from Joy Wine and Spirits. KUVO Sommelier, you've shown me some labels here that help the novice understand what's where your wine is coming from.
Right. So often in a store, organic wines are put off into a small section. But at our store, we actually have tags on all of our wines, and we designate them as, if they're just conventionally grown grapes, then we're not probably going to say anything on the shelf tag. But otherwise, we're going to label it as sustainable, biodynamic, natural or no sulfites added, and then sustainable. Another important part is that often wines aren't produced from certified organically grown grapes. The whole certification process is very lengthy and very expensive.
Yeah, and it takes years.
Yes, it does. It takes years. And not only are your grapes organic, but how much electricity you use in your facility is monitored. What kind of soaps you use, what kind of cleaning agents you use, things that don't even see the wine are all taken into consideration in your certification. And which brings up a point that there are no laws in terms of labeling natural wine. And a lot of organic growers have problems with this because people see natural wine as a, quote, better product than an organic wine, even though they're taking organic wine to a next step. But they're not required to do anything.
So it's a labeling issue, and then what does the label mean? And this is why you need to talk to the person.
Right,
Who knows the wine and get informed. Carolyn Joy with wine here on The Morning Show, First Take. What have you brought us?
So today, we're going to try the Kivelstadt orange wine, which is out of the Sierra foothills in California. The orange wine is another interesting kind of phenomena from the natural wine movement, because what orange wine is white wine where it's left, where the skins are left on, the juice, much like a red wine. And so it has a little bit more, you know, you can tell from the color. And also it's not filtered, so you can kind of see that it's a little, it's not as clear.
Just a very slight haze. It's still clear. And you said the foothills of the Sierras.
Right. And so this is a blend. It's basically a Rhone Vin blend of 40% Marsan, 40% Roussanne, 20% Viognier. And it sits on in the barrel for 6 months on the lees. So it gets kind of this creamy texture also. But it's kind of funky. But this is one of the freshest versions of orange wine that I've come across.
It's not super fruity, but this is...
It's got kind of a mandarin orange also.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
Mandarin orange.
And a little bit of sour.
This is the Kivelstadt, and it's called orange wine.
Yeah, and it would be great with all sorts of exotic foods, really, like maybe Moroccan or fresh things like a raw salad or cheeses or smoked trout, something like that.
And natural wine in general is newer, not the super old and expensive vintage.
Well, one little interesting thought is one of the world's most expensive wines is natural, and that's Romanée Conti, which is from Burgundy, and it's one of the most sought after wines, and it just happens to be natural.
There you go.
Listeners can come join us tonight. We're going to be opening natural wines. And then on Saturday, we have Jackrabbit Winery, which is home Colorado wine. It's awesome. And that's going to be Saturday. And there's all sorts of consumer events.
It is Colorado Natural Wine Week. Carolyn Joy from Joy Wine and Spirits joins us monthly on First Take with this wine exploration. And thank you. And cheers to you.
Thank you.
If you want to get along and see this town, buy some wine.